The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Davey Murray in the hot seat, and I have with me the candidate representing the National Transformation Alliance, coming off from independency at least three times in his political career. He's now aligned himself with a political party, the Party of Blue. The Party of Blue. We have in studio with us the Point Fortin candidate representing under the NTA, Mr. Errol Fabian. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Murray. How are you doing? It's a good morning. It's good to be here. And I say good morning to all of your listeners, wherever in the world they find themselves this morning.
And listen, we have them globally. Eh?
I am so aware.
We have them globally. And I thank the management for using wisdom in creating Freedom 106.5 FM, giving us great conversation. I mean, this is the station to speak your mind.
I hear that.
So, as a child growing up, I would have followed Errol Fabian. I remember going out on a date many years ago, and it was coming off of the heels of a carnival, and we was at the Queen's Park Savannah. Uh-huh. That year, Faizan Love came into the country.
Wow! That's you have a memory, boy.
That's how far back. You remember Faizan?
Faizan. I can't forget him, but he didn't have a great time.
He did not. He did not. He flopped within 5 minutes. Yeah. Nobody warned him about the country. And one of the members on that cast was Errol Fabian.
Indeed, indeed.
And we listened to the jokes with the Tommy Josephs and the greats. So it will be remiss of me if I didn't ask you the question. Mm-hmm. Coming off of the heels of entertainment, comedy in Trinidad and Tobago, your thoughts on your transition into the political landscape of things. What was the thought? What drew you into this phase of your life?
It happened in 2013, really, when there was a by-election in St. Joseph. Because mm-hmm. I was one of the voices who were calling, because our representative was backbenched. He was disciplined with the Section 34 debacle. Mm. And we pretty much had no representative in the parliament. So my voice was a loud voice saying, we need a by-election. We have to have a by-election. We need a member to represent us in the House. And it was one of those mornings when I was making noise that I remember my father used to say to me, shut up or put up. Mm. All this noise, do something about it. And that is when I decided to toss my hat into the ring. But more than that, Davey, I've always had a passion to serve. I've always, for a long time in my life, not been satisfied with the governance in Trinidad and Tobago. I always felt as though we forgot that the colonial master gone. Why are we governing in the same manner that they did? Where's the love? Where's the unity? Where's the camaraderie in the governance I'm talking about? Once it happens in the governance, it's going to filter out into the wider society. So I tossed my hat in the ring then, and to great personal sacrifice, I would imagine. But I'm here and still committed and still looking forward to serving.
Let me ask you a question. When you got into the political landscape and you went up as an independent, you stayed there for at least three elections.
As an independent.
You stayed there. What made you align yourself to a political entity at this time?
Well, I will tell you first why I was independent. Because there were no leaders. I am a very, very, very big on leadership. Mm-hmm. And the then leaders were not at all impressive to me. I was unhappy with their leadership styles. And so I went independent. And then I met Gary Griffith, who had a track record of good leadership, hard decisions, but always building a team that could effect and make things happen, affect the landscape and make things happen. And we had a couple of conversations, and I decided, okay, I can do this. I can work with Gary Griffith. I could follow him. I could challenge him. I could disagree with him. I could fight with him. But we can move forward together. And that's the kind of leadership I like. And that's the kind of leadership I think we need in Trinidad. We're going through very hard times right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody could disagree with that. And weak leadership brings hard times on a nation. And hard times call for strong leadership. So that is why I am where I am, wanting to continue to be a part of a team. And whether I continue on in politics or not, I believe that Gary Griffith is the best leader for this nation at this time in our history.
You mentioned something, and I have to delve on it a bit. You talk about being able to fight, argue, disagree with your political leader,
yes,
which is Gary Griffith, as opposed to the others. We get this kind of do as I see, not as I do.
There is a sense of that.
You get that sense, even though it's, you know, we have no evidence to support it.
Yeah.
But we get the sense that if you speak out against them, or you disagree, be seen as a dissident.
Yes, I have to agree. I mustn't challenge. I can't run against saying internal, all these things, you know. But it's not like that. Let me tell you, I'm pleasantly shocked and surprised because I didn't see Gary as that kind of guy.
Have you had those kind of tough conversations?
Absolutely.
Where you
Absolutely.
All disagreed? And
even before I joined the NTA, I had the pleasure to interview Gary on Gael. And I was taken aback because he was not the guy I had a sense that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming into the NTA, it really, really confirmed that he is not. It's easy to mistake him for, oh, that fella could talk, boy. And let me tell you, he can't talk. But an excellent leader. He wants to be challenged. He wants to see another point of view, wants to see another perspective.
All right. So with that being said, based on your personal experience with Gary Griffith, what are you seeing the NTA doing? I mean, you are representing Point Fortin,
yes,
but you don't live there at the moment.
You're not heading at the moment.
So is it that you're going to be there before the general elections?
Well, I was making plans to move back to Point Fortin even before Gary asked me to run for Point Fortin. I am looking at a little spot, a nice little spot in Cap de Ville, and that's where I want to spend the autumn and the winter of my years, although the autumn of my years are almost over, but that's where I want to be. My whole spirit feels at home in Point Fortin. I love that area, and I get a lot of love and support in that area also. So Point Fortin is where I'm heading, win, lose, or draw. That's where my destination was taking me all along.
All right. We are streaming live on Facebook at this time. So those of you listening, if you want to see Errol in studio with me this morning, you can check us out, Freedom on Facebook. We are there live. It's 24 minutes after 6. Now, let's talk a little bit about the youth.
Yes.
Now, before I get to that question, you are from Point. What are some of the significant changes you would like to see happen in Point? What has been failing over the years by the other MPs for the area that if you retain the seat, you think you can make a difference in the Point Fortin area?
Yeah, the other MPs were casualties of their parties. Point Fortin has been a very neglected area, and that's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the People's National Movement first came into office, Dr. Eric Williams was in Point Fortin, and he asked, "What it is all you want?" And the people shouted, "PNM!" He asked again, "No, what all you want?" He said, "PNM!" He said, "You don't understand what all you want." And they said, "PNM!" And he said to that crowd, if Trinidad was a donkey, Point Fortin is the thing below the tail. And those are that's a damning words. Beyond that, Point Fortin has contributed as much as 40% of the GDP of Trinidad and Tobago's economy.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels as though the development that could have come out of that amount of economic activity and economic growth and economic contribution was not felt in Point Fortin.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a sense that it's a developed area, you know. We waited 50 years for the highway. We waited a long time to get the hospital. And let me tell you, it's a great hospital we have there now.
Beautiful, I've seen
it. But let me say that we had something called the GVC, Government Vocational College, which was perfect because it was a trade school. And in that industry down there, in fishing, in agriculture, in energy, those skills were highly needed and continue to be highly needed. GVC was closed down. More recently, they opened an NEC. It was closed down. So the young people, the youth, because they started asking about them, and that's a very, very important part of my campaign. The youth have very little options if they are not academically inclined. And we see in the blocks, because I grew up on the block hunting, I was a lima in Point in Guapo, and the blocks there starting to look like the blocks in Port of Spain, but that was never so. The sense that guns moving into the community and gang activity moving into our communities, that is like unprecedented. That is not Point. That's not who we are. And so I really want to come in there and work with the youth. I want the forward, as they say. I want the forward. I want to go to Parliament. I want to raise my voice on behalf of the people of Point Fortin. And that's very different from a lot of other people who are in Parliament. They raise their voices on behalf of their political leaders. I have under no command or obligation to raise my voice on behalf of my political leader. I am tasked to raise my voice on behalf of the people of Point Fortin, the people who would elect me, because that is who I'm in Parliament to serve. There are agricultural programs we are looking at, recycling programs we are looking at, beautification programs we are looking at, and we have to get our trade schools back into Point Fortin. If it's the NEC, if it is some private entity, whatever it is, we need to get them in. We need to work and build cooperatives with the young men and young women who are on the blocks, who are unemployed. Let me tell you, you know who I really, really admire, and I see him very much like Gary Griffith? Ibrahim Traore in Burkina Faso, and what he's doing in his country. The kind of economic activity that is happening there. Simple things. He's not spending billions. He made his members of parliament get rid of the Prados and drive regular cars. He himself drives a regular car. And that's the kind of man, that's the kind of leadership we need in Trinidad and Tobago now. It's not about the glitz. It's about rolling up your sleeve, getting down into the ditch and working alongside the people. We need that. And I'm saying
And he's a
that.
Young guy, yeah?
He's a young guy.
He's a young president.
And he's so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say working alongside, this is a message for the constituents. It's not an easy ride. It's not. Errol is not coming to fix everything. Mm-hmm. Errol is coming to work with you, for you in the parliament, with you on the ground. You're not. I'm not coming to solve it all for you. I'm coming to hear from you what solutions you want, what direction you want to go in, and as a team, we're going to move forward.
Well, based on what you're saying there, that is transitioning into my other question for you. In terms of the youth vote, because we are looking and for the youth to understand economic sustainability and all these different ventures. You mentioned about the academics, and if you're not academically inclined, then it's almost as though your life is over.
Thank you very
You either
much.
Go and hit a fried chicken outlet as opposed to becoming an entrepreneur. But
even a fried chicken outlet won 5 subjects now.
And that has to do with discipline and to retain information and follow instructions. Yeah? And I'll explain that in a later time on the show this morning, because somebody said to me, I remember in UWE once, why they asked why they wanted it. But not to sidetrack, what is the NTA doing to attract those younger voters, especially in your constituency?
In Point Fortin, we're trying to use social media as much as possible so that we can at least reach their ears and reach their eyes. But we also partnering with young people in the Point Fortin area, young people who are involved in music production. Point Fortin is like entertainment capital in Trinidad and Tobago. It's like a hub. So many of our great entertainers came out of Point Fortin. And these young men are there. I've visited them. I've met them. And they're working. There's a young man called Kelly Beach with a studio down there. And a lot of them go to him and they're working and they're creating all this music, but the music not leaving Point Fortin. The opportunities that the state can put into place with respect to airplay and quotas and so on is non-existent. So they're fighting up. They're putting it on the streaming platforms and these kind of things, but they do not understand the industry beyond the production. And that is something I can bring. I can bring those talks. I can bring the players. I can bring people to help them understand that. There's also a need, I think, and NESC used to do it, to make sound engineers, because it sounds good what they're making, but there's some technical requirements that engineers understand that needs to also get into the music. Because if I bring a nice song here for you and it's nice, but it's not technically sounged, it's nice, but it's not going to play.
It's like a song without a drum kit kind
Thank
of thing.
Thank you very much. It's not going to play. And so that's one of the things we're doing with the youth. There are also a number of youth involved in agriculture in Point Fortin area. And the growing things that everybody else is growing. But I'm coming in to let them know things like, for example, there's a shortage or insufficient supply of Pomsi tea for the people who make preserves. And the miniature pomsitae grows well and it bears abundantly. So those are the kind of things that I'm bringing into the conversation with these young people. The short-term crops are great, but you need also medium-term and long-term crops. You can't not be earning while you're short-term growing. Mm. So you need to put the other things into the ground. We're also talking about agro-processing down there, you know. Yes, we could sell the pomsitae to the people who make any preserves. Mm-hmm. But if we make any preserves, we could be exporting. And different things like that, we're talking with them about. They're very excited. And we are moving that conversation forward. Not only with agro and not only with music production.
I was going to ask you that, because outside of those two things, not everybody is going to gravitate towards music. Not everybody is talented enough
in
to
fact,
understand
we have
it.
A lot of sportsmen and sportswomen in Point Fortin. Right now, there's a coach, Mr. Mokri. He coaches his athletes on the beach. You training running barefoot to go and compete in track shoes on a Mondo track. And they're still excelling. They're still getting the scholarships. We absolutely are part of a movement to get a proper sporting facility in Point Fortin. A Mondo track, something where our athletes can train. Because that discipline of preparing yourself for a sport is very important for young people.
With that being said, I mean, we have limited time with you. So let's talk a little bit about the business community and the NTA. I mean, some of these initiatives sounds great, but what talks are happening in terms of collab efforts between the business community? Because that track you're talking about requires funding.
It requires funding.
It requires acquisition of land and properties. What sort of talks is the NTA engaging in the Point Fortin area in your constituency to bring these things to reality?
Well, there's no shortage of land in St. Patrick. However, a public-private partnership is very important for all of these things. And the private sector in Point Fortin, the people I have spoken with are on board, because they understand that if we're not putting track shoes or recording tools or gardening tools into the hands of the young people, when they come into the stores, they will come with something else in their hands. Mm. They understand the urgent need to employ and train the young people and give them hope and give them direction, because otherwise they will be coming into their same businesses not with a $10 or $20 in their hand, but with a 9mm or something else, because at the end of the day, everybody looking for it, everybody want profit, everybody want a forward. So the business community is very, very much a part of the conversation and very much involved in the evolution and transformation that is proposed for Point Fortin under the Errol Fabian MP.
All right. But that being said, your political leader come from a security background.
Yes,
he does. And, you know, the last stint he had would have been Commissioner of Police. So in the Point Fortin area, what talks are happening in your political party to reducing crime in the area? Outside of these wonderful initiatives, mm-hmm. what else is on the agenda to help at least be able to detect these criminals or crime and gang allegiances and affiliation within the area?
Okay. Well, the same things that Captain Gary Griffith did as a police commissioner is what he is about in this NTA, which is building a team, making sure there's leadership, accountability, management, and measurement of performance. With those things, everything can be made efficient and everything can work. You can detect people who are not performing in measurement of performance. Management is very important. Leadership, and the big A word that is a problem in this country, accountability.
Now, with that being said, I want to take at least two calls. We have limited time
Absolutely.
With you. But is the NTA putting up 41 constituents?
Not yet. And I don't think we're going to get to 41. We're perilously close to 20 at the time. But we have until Friday.
Well, yeah, which is just tomorrow.
Yeah,
by 4 p.m. tomorrow, I think nomination closes. Either 3 p.m. or 4 p.m., nomination closes. Let me ask you a question very quickly. Should your party be successful at putting up 41 constituents and you all retain governance of this country, did you have your eyes in any particular ministry that you would have liked to head?
Well, there are two areas I would like to work in. Arts and culture, for sure, because there's a great void in that area. The last great minister we had there mm-hmm. was Auntie Joan.
Mm, Joan Ewell Williams.
Mm-hmm. We've not seen a great culture or arts minister or community development. Well, I think those things go together.
I think a lot of persons, they're liking the current one.
Yeah, people, well, you know, I have to say he's one of the great ministers who really for culture. Yeah, that's what I will say on his behalf. He's really, really, and farts. He's good farts.
All right, so with that
ministry, the other place I would like to work, sir, is in the Ministry of Health.
Okay.
Not as a minister, but specifically working with a mental health division, looking at the addiction problem and substance abuse problem in Trinidad and Tobago.
Interesting. We are slowly making our way up to the hour of 7 o'clock here this morning. I will take at least one call. Remember, keep your call short. Do not be disrespectful. Attack the message and not the messenger.
It's fine.
I continue to reiterate that point. Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, Davey, and good morning, Errol.
Good morning,
sir. Last time I spoke to you, you, Louis, and I were in Woodford Square on July 27th.
Wow.
Now, just let me just say this to you, Errol.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up this morning nauseated because two political leaders are fighting to find out who said they're going to give the country more gun first. That is the extent of the thinking of people who want to leave this country. Then clearly they are brain dead. Because you can't solve our problem by giving people guns.
No, sir.
You have a collapsed and compromised police service. Fix that first. When you fix that, then you could talk about other things. Or you could just talk about giving people guns. So you brain dead then. That is the extent of it. That is our crime fighting solution. I'll listen to your comments.
All right, Eric. Thank you.
Sir, I do not want to live in a country where everybody has guns. I want to live in a country where nobody needs guns. And that is the direction all conversations in this country need to be going in. And that comes out of empowering our young people.
And that is why I keep asking everyone that comes in, you know, how are you all attracting the younger votes? You know, how are you getting them enticed? Because all these programs sounds nice, you know, that have been on the agenda for quite some time. Persons went through it. But how am I getting this new generation, the new 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds that are now reaching those ages and eligible for voting rights in this country? How am I going to appeal to you? Because the last 5 years, you wasn't 18.
No.
Or 19. So the talks that were happening in terms of economic growth and sustainability, crime and all these things, health care in this country, public transport, all these things were not mommy, daddy taking care of it.
Nothing to me.
Mommy and daddy handling it. So how are you? You know. So that's a question, and that is something that I continuously want to hear about. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, man. This is the panel, Errol.
Good morning, sir.
You have to fight fire in this country now. This is not 1962 in Ireland.
I understand that,
you understand? Sir. And these people, they're taking advantage of good citizens. You got to get guns to deal with them. Pull it down.
All right, thank you very much. Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Could you load on your radio, please?
Yes.
Go ahead. Make your contribution quickly, please.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
We have two philosophies in Trinidad and Tobago. One, the PNM says the government must control the people. The UNC said people must control the government. Which one do you support?
Sir, I don't think anybody needs to be controlled by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to be given a sense of liberation. Our country needs to feel like it is liberated. People need to feel like we own this country. This is our country. And we need to have a sense of ownership. How come we're 60, how much years old, and we don't have a list of our national heroes? Who are our young people supposed to be looking up to? We don't have a national day for our heroes. We don't celebrate them. We don't induct our best brains into a hall of fame. If you look through all the other islands and other nations, they know who their heroes are. Who are our heroes?
So true. You walk into some airports and it's plastered on the wall. You get the Usain, the Rihanna. You know who it is. Somebody is saying, good morning, Errol. Please get your facts right. The statement by Prime Minister Eric Williams was said in and about Moruga. As a matter of fact, the GVC, which is the government
vocational college,
right, was closed down along with the Chatham Youth Camp under the Basdeo Pandey's regime. A sand track or sandy beach is a must to train all athletes. And this is the coming out from Moruga. Once again, you can listen to us on Facebook. We're on Facebook live streaming. You can be a part of it this morning and send your comments in those Facebook comments as well.
Yes. So the caller needs to double check his or her facts that the comment was made in point 14. However, training on the beach is great for your legs and so on, but you cannot develop technique for running on a mundo track, running on the beach.
Very well said. I was thinking along those lines. We take another call very quickly. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Fabian.
Good morning to you, sir.
Princess Tong. Mr. Fabian.
Yes, sir.
I would like your comments on this growing, evolving narrative that the default option for young people is crime. I think it's something we have to be very, very careful about, and politicians have to be even more careful that we're not giving the wrong signals to the wider society. Yes, I agree we have problems to fix, and the young people are very much challenged and everything else, but we cannot be insinuating that the default option is a gun. There must be other alternatives, and that we have to point people and young people in those directions. Thank you very much.
I agree with you, sir. And I'm surrounded by young people. And the narrative that all these young people and this missing generation talk and so on, I do not support it in any way whatsoever. Because I see them, I know them. I have children, wow, in almost every age group. I have children in their 40s, I have children in their early 20s. I see their friends, and I know that they have some worthless ones, but I see them fighting. And their fight is really to find a way with their new intelligence in this world. And not enough is in place for them as entrepreneurs. And that is where they want to be. They're not looking for the, as I say, the fried chicken jobs. They're not really too many of them. They're interested in being doctors and lawyers and that kind of thing. Those of them who have it in their families. But there's a new horizon, there's a new frontier that they want to get into. And the government is tasked with building that space for them so that they can find their way.
I have one more question coming from one of my texters this morning as we say goodbye to you, as you have your engagements. I believe that you will get your deposit back. But one of my texters are asking me, how confident are you in taking away PNM votes from that area?
I'm very confident, and I don't know that I need to take away PNM votes. I think PNM is doing a great job at that all on their own as it is right now. So I don't have to fight to do that. I'm trying to get the young people out to vote, and the people who do not vote, whatever constituency you're in, I'm saying to you now, you have to be a part of the process. Get up on that morning and find yourself at a polling station. You must vote. You must take part, because you live here. And it is very important that you take part. Whatever party you support, come out and vote. Let the reflection, let the history books show that Trinidad and Tobago nationals who are eligible take part in our democratic process.
And finally.
Good morning, Mr. Fabian. Good morning, Mr. Murray. Mr. Fabian, you are somebody that I admire a lot.
Thank you, sir. Because
of the challenges that you have offered. Kudos to you, sir. Mm-hmm. I have two questions, if you could permit me. One, how can you align yourself with a leader, that being Gary Griffin, that has a history of social media bullying?
And
it's almost as if he lives on social media. You make a comment disagreeing with him, and he comes with the most hateful, hurtful responses. He has very thin skin. How could you support a leader like that? Because I would assume that that sort of leadership will make its way into his governance structure should he become prime minister.
And your second question?
And my next question is, if we are to elect the NTA and by extension the NTA, how can we be sure that somebody that has had management issues with Gael could efficiently manage the resources of this country?
Okay, good question.
I would like to hear answer to those two questions, please. Thank you.
Firstly, Gary Griffith, I'm sure what you're seeing on social media, to you, he comes across like a bully. I've never seen that side of Gary in our interactions, in our governance team. We all get to speak up and disagree and challenge and fight and so on, like I said. So I don't know that what you're seeing with respect to Gary. Maybe it's because I'm closer to him. I'm not seeing it. I don't know, but that's the situation. Also, I don't know that I've had management issues in Gael. That company is the second longest running television station in Trinidad and Tobago. We've had challenges, economic challenges, that went to the Economic Times in Trinidad and Tobago. And hard decisions had to be made. The most painful thing I've done in my life is close my newsroom. We had Paolo Kernahan heading our news, and we had a great team. Some of them, they work all through the media now, because we had a great team that we coached and we developed there in Gael. But had I made other decisions we would not have a Gael today.
And that is most important to me. I think those hard decisions speaks to great leaders, because you can't be always popular. And if everybody had to like you, something wrong. Errol, I want to say thank you very, very much. As a fellow broadcaster, I know you know about the early mornings, getting up and getting in the studio at 6. But, you know, I bid you adieu and farewell. I wish you all the best in the upcoming elections. And as one texter rightfully reminded me about the fluff, I say good.
That's right. One love. One love to you. God bless you all. And thank you for having me.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.